Next. When Michael Jackson died, the Sun's circulation increased by 326,000 copies in one day. That is more than the daily circulation of The Independent and The Guardian put together, I believe, paid for circulation. So there is a public appetite for that kind of celebrity journalism and big national international stories like Michael Jackson's death. In terms of competitive pressures, I really agree with Phil Hall that actually the pressures that I feel under are very much my own professional pride to produce a good, fun, lively, informative newspaper on a daily basis. And coming back to the free newspaper discussion, I think that free newspapers are very functional, they do a good job. You know, they perhaps have stimulated young people's interest in newspapers, which can't be bad for us. But really, I think that's the Sun's role. You know, it's humour, it's personality, it's fun headlines, its sense of representing modern Britain in 2011. That has really come to the fore and really separates us from free newspapers. That would be my response to
celebrity journalism. Roy Greenslade made the point it requires more intrusion and different methods. Would you accept that the skills needed to be a celebrity journalist are obviously different from being a political one, not just because you know the different set of people, but actually the way you go about it is very different?
No, I wouldn't say it is. I think it's having good relationships with people in the know. I think that the way that journalists operate in the lobby system is probably not dissimilar to a showbiz journalist talking to celebrities and agents, you know, on the showbiz circuit. So I think it's pretty much the same principle.
What about the role of showbiz PRs? How does that work in to the?
Well, I was a showbiz columnist myself, and of course you do have regular discussions with showbiz agents, and if you've got a column to fill on a daily basis, clearly, you know, there will be information that an agent will give you, and that will be of interest to the public who enjoy celebrity journalism.
To what extent is it a kind of contract between the PR journalist and the celebrity journalist, the PR who's acting for a celebrity, and the journalist in the sense of trade-offs and things like that?
Probably no more than there would be in the lobby system when a spin doctor or a politician will give a piece of information to a lobby journalist.
I'd just like to get back into the... not you, Dominic.
I'll sit down.
Yeah, thanks. But to get back into the kind of culture and practice and ethics in newsrooms, I think Tony Gallagher from The Telegraph is still here. He was a very successful executive on the Daily Mail, which is very now editor of the Daily Telegraph. I was just wondering if he could give us any sort of views, whether he feels as somebody who worked on one newspaper and then on another one, which have in a way different approaches and perspectives, whether he feels there's anything different in the way he motivates his journalists and his team. What is he trying to project, and what is he trying to get out of his journalists? Can you give us some sort of a feeling of whether that's different from one paper to the other, or whether they're both the same?
I can only speak from my own experience, but I don't notice any huge difference between the culture of the mid-market newspaper and the Daily Telegraph that I edit. There is a desire to be quick, there's a desire to be accurate, there's a desire to ensure that you've got the best version of the story. It's as simple as that. I would make one further point, not related, but unless I'll sound correctly, but I don't believe there's anybody here from any of the big search engine companies today, Google, Yahoo, any of those organisations. And they haven't really cropped up in the discussion thus far, which I think is extremely interesting in terms of the competitive pressures that newspapers are under, because I suspect most newspaper executives will agree with me that those organisations pose a very substantial threat to the health and future success of newspapers. I'll give you an example of that this morning. Newspapers are under, you know, huge and growing pressure from the 24/7 news environment. Steve Jobs' death announced at about 12:30 last night made the later editions of newspapers. We probably sold 200,000 copies of the paper with Steve Jobs on it. But the extent to which we have to cover that story today meant that by 10:30 this morning, we had four stories on Steve Jobs on my BlackBerry. We had an email about Steve Jobs. And yet Google had a whole series of stories about Steve Jobs, two from us, some from The Guardian, some from other news organizations. And the pressure that, the commercial pressure that exists because of those search engines and the collapse in advertising that's attended upon that hasn't really been touched upon at all. And I'll stand corrected, as I say, if there are Google representatives here, there don't appear to be anybody on the list.
I think you're right. I don't think there are. We have focused in our discussions upon that issue. And you're completely right about the implications of that for the whole industry. So we have folks, but I don't think there is anybody here from any of those search engines.
Come back, Tony. In terms of the journalists and now, so is the same journalist writing early in the morning to do your online version and will then be writing in the newspaper? How integrated now are you and how much kind of, do you think that puts additional pressure on people that they have less time to work and develop sources? I was just wondering if you could just pick up that example and tell us how that will be sort of run through the day from the time of the announcement.
As you will know from your time there, George, we run now an integrated newsroom, so the same journalists, by and large, are working both online and in print. The truth is they're working harder. They're probably working longer days, and they're doing more. I would say some of it is bite-sized, some of it is capsule journalism, for want of a better word, and it just means that they're doing much more intraday rather than focusing on the end of the day and the printed product. And almost without exception, most journalists would do that. To give you an example, again, from my own very recent experience yesterday, the rewriting of the Prime Minister's speech to the Conservative Party conference 10 years ago would have not really amounted to a great deal in the following day's newspapers, but yesterday, because of the internet, because of blogging, because of the news channels, it became a huge story for about 3 hours yesterday until the Prime Minister stood up and made his speech, which largely swept away the row over the credit card remarks. So the pressure is much greater, the demands are more intense, and the answer is that people are doing more and are working harder. I think whether that has an impact upon standards is a matter for the given organisation. I think if you allow standards to slip very quickly, then what we call our brand would be very badly damaged. And I think
an editor who was a legend in the tiny